You're listening to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association with host John Hansen. Today's show is sponsored by attorney Stephen A. Leahy from OPM Tax Advocates, attorney Nicholas Vogelzang from Vogelzang Law, and attorney Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan. Now, here's John Hansen, and let's get legal.
All right, at 110 here on WGN. Hello, everybody. Happy final Saturday. Let's Get Legal before the holiday. Hope your shopping's done. Hope you're all ready to go. And if not, that's okay. I'm not either. So, hey, Stephen, how are you doing?
I'm ready to go, John.
Actually, I am. So we are hosting tomorrow. Both my brothers are firefighters.
Well, I did not know that.
One's a captain now. One soon will be a lieutenant. My dad was a fire chief for 30-some years in Lincolnwood. And they often are on shift, right, during either Christmas Eve or Christmas. So years and years ago, it actually started when we were kids, my mom created something called Boys Christmas. It was three boys of us growing up. We've continued the tradition now where we pick a day where they are both off shift. And also, my older brother's wife is a nurse's practitioner at Northwestern. A lot of first responders in my family. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Responding.
Yeah, right. My younger brother's wife is also at Rush. So anyways, so we're doing that tomorrow. And I host that one. And I decided this year, instead of like doing a sit-down or whatever, doing a taco bar. You like that?
I love it.
Right? I'm going to make some margaritas. I looked up a good recipe.
I love it.
If anyone's got a good margarita recipe, I do on the rocks. I don't like getting the blender and all that. Text it on in, 312-981-7200. If you have a patented margarita recipe, I just want to.
My sister-in-law sometimes does a taco bar.
Oh, it's so good. I'm going to do slow-cooked carnitas, 10 hours tomorrow. I got a nice pork shoulder, and then I'm going to do some skirt steak. Marinated it overnight tonight in some lime juice and chipotle peppers.
Doesn't get better than that, John.
Oh, put it on the grill for 4 minutes, 2 minutes each side. Let's just turn show today into this. Yeah. Any other ideas for me out there? 312-981-7200. Where was I going with that, Stephen? There was a point somewhere. As often happens, sometimes we never figure out what it was. It's tax, not tax time yet, but people should be thinking about that as we get to the new year. I looked up some Christmas laws, just because I thought I'd go through some of these unique Christmas laws a little later in the show. And I found one that has to do with a tax. Did you know that wholesalers of Christmas trees, since 2011, for every tree they sell, I'm going to put tax in quotes, a 15-cent tax is levied on them. Although most of them seem to like it, because what they actually do is they take that 15 cents and the government then funds a marketing program to improve the image of Christmas trees. I didn't know Christmas trees needed rehabilitation in their marketing, but
I heard that some years ago, so that does refresh my recollection.
Well, because it was during the Obama administration, yeah. And everyone went, oh my God, a 15%
Christmas tree, you're dead. Christmas tree.
Yes. And then they said, well, no, it's not on you, it's not on the wholesalers. Although, as we know, if a wholesaler gets taxed 15 cents, the consumer will pay for it.
Absolutely.
But it's to promote Christmas trees, which I didn't think
was
needed.
You think that they would do that themselves?
You think so?
Don't they want to promote it? If I'm growing Christmas trees, I pretty much want to promote it.
It was like the Got Milk idea with the dairy conglomerates, and the government kind of helped out with that. So, or the Incredible Edible Egg campaigns that, oh, I love. I look in your eyes. You love when the government steps in and comes up with new ideas, don't you?
All it does remind me that we have lobbyists.
We do.
Yeah. There's special interest groups who do things.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And the other one that I saw that I had no idea that, I don't know if you know this, and this has to do with income, I guess. In Mexico, it's something called aguinaldo. Oh, I'm saying that all wrong. Enrique, I hope you're not listening. It's an annual Christmas bonus in Mexico that businesses are required by law to pay to their employees. They must be made by December 20th. Companies that fail to do so lay themselves open to significant fines, as much as 350 times the daily legal minimum wage. Costa Rica has a similar law. Although, if it's a mandated bonus, doesn't it roll into your income?
That doesn't sound like a bonus.
I always felt that way with Chevy Chase in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, that's sometimes the problem, is labeling things as bonuses, because he just expected that as income, and he had a plan for that pool, and then it didn't come one year, and and get the Jelly Club instead. I don't know where I'm going with any of this, but I hope it's enjoying.
These are good Christmas that people don't know. Taxes, which you know I like.
Yeah, 312.
I mean, I don't like taxes.
You don't like taxes. Yeah, exactly. 312-981-7200. The 630 texting in. about this small businesses. Do we still have to register for the FinCEN thing? Reset this from the beginning. Okay. I'm sure you did it on David's show, but help us out.
Actually, we didn't.
Okay,
and I kind of mentioned it on the show because I said I wanted to get to it, but I never did get to it because Jeremy and I were talking about it because, you know, he was always, this is ridiculous when I told him about it because he had never heard of it. And most business owners still haven't heard
of it. No idea.
Right?
They're not doing a good job advertising for this.
No, I agree with that. And, of course, a lot of times they pass these laws, and we don't even know they exist.
Mm-hmm.
When we say we, I don't mean me, because I'm a lawyer, right? So I'm supposed to know that they exist.
This is kind of where we go into where I
talk about that the membership group that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say to people, and I've been talking about this on my daily new emails. So if you own a business and you're not on my daily email list, go to fightbacknow.com and give me your email address, and I'll send you daily emails about taxes and other things that you might be interested in, productivity, you know, things like that we talk about. But so I'd say to, and we've been talking about this. This is the beneficial ownership interest report that's required. That's right. Required of anybody who owns a business entity like an LLC, like an S corporation, right? So the government, it's in the Corporate Transparency Act, and they want you to register, and you have to have an ID, and you file it with the FinCEN, which is the Financial Criminal Division of the Department of Treasury.
And this is new, by the way.
It's new in the sense that it's this year you're supposed to register. And if you've had a business before the first of this year, 2024, then you have till the end of 2024, December 31st, to file this.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you have an LLC, an S corp, a corporation, whatever it is, you have 10 days to go online and do this.
The answer is yes. Although this is what people are, and this is the big news in this,
okay,
in this area, is some months ago down in, I think it was Tennessee, they brought a case against it in federal court, and they put a stay in place, but only for the plaintiffs. So everybody else is still applied to.
The specific people filing that lawsuit, they got a stay. But it didn't mass apply to everyone.
But now a court in Texas, last week, I believe, it might be 2 weeks now, passed a stay and put a stay on it nationwide.
Oh, okay.
And so you don't have to comply by the, I don't want to
just
say,
do
you,
it.
I don't want to say you don't have to comply.
Well, because they may ultimately get overruled, and then it's, you got to do it right away, you know, just do it if you can.
And will you face penalties? The penalty could be $500 a day.
That's no good.
Yeah, a day. And you're like, well, they won't never do that. Well, I don't know if I want to take that chance.
Right? I wouldn't. Is it easy to do to file the report?
It's easy to do. If you go to FinCEN, F-E-N-C-E-N.
No, F-I-N-C-E-N.
I think it's F. Okay.
I'm looking at the website right now, okay. Steve. Unless I'm on a bogus one.
That's why it's FinCEN, not
FinCEN. You want me to turn the monitor around so I can prove it? Yeah.
I got it. Financial crimes. I got it. It is an online thing. It's not very hard to do. We've been doing it for all of our clients, and that we want to make sure that they comply. They don't even know about it. So it's like, if you don't know about it, how can I comply if I don't know about it? Well, that's why you got to have some avenue to news of what's going on and what's required. And again, how are you supposed to know? Well, you got to have a line to someone that knows. And that's why I say, get on my email newsletter list so you can follow what's going on. Anything new I'm talking about on the IRS, I'm putting it in my newsletter.
Right. Hey, I want to clear up our favorite text from the 847.
Yeah.
Who just wrote back to say, hey, sorry, I wasn't, just trying to keep listeners out of trouble. And I think you guys were kind of talking about two different scenarios.
Exactly.
And so what this texter, who seems to know what they're talking about, was saying that if you are, by the way, if you're just joining us, it had to do with the texter. Steven, you were talking about paying a nanny in cash, and the texter reminded people you've got to schedule. If you're the one paying the nanny in cash, you must file Schedule H. You, the person that's paying. But you were bringing up, no, you don't have to do that. You were saying that if the nanny is part of a company, which many of them are, they are part of a broader company. Then no, just like any other contractor that comes to your house.
If you have I get this question about cleaning women. I got a cleaning woman comes to my house once a week or once every 2 weeks, and do I have to report what I pay her? The answer is no. She's got her own company. That's what she does. She doesn't only clean your house. Now in this case, he's talking about a nanny who works for you, only.
Right.
Right. And now you become an employer. That's true. Because now you are an employer. But generally, when sending 1099s is only on businesses, so if it's personal, you don't generally do it. But now you're not, right? If someone's working for you, now you are an employer. Mm-hmm. And so that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree.
Very good. Well, look, kumbaya, we made it work. Yeah. You and the 847. You guys should go out for dinner now.
That's right.
Have a good conversation. I'd love that.
If we talk about taxes, it'll be deductible.
That's so true. Oh, good call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Phone lines open, text lines too. If you got questions for Stephen A. Leahy about taxes, about FinCEN, about nannies, about Christmas, whatever you want. Oh, and I need those margarita recipes. Our good friend Byron Andreas from Andreas has already has texted me his margarita recipe.
I knew he'd have one.
Oh, I was not surprised that that was the first text that I got. This is Let's Get Legal. We're powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Stephen A. Leahy across from me. We're taking your margarita recipes, too, because I got to make a bunch of them for my family tomorrow. Please, only the over-the-rocks ones, on the rocks. I saw one recipe, Stephen, with triple sec and Sprite to give it a little fizz. I'm going to try that one when I get on home.
I'm not much of a margarita guy myself.
I'm not either. It's not my go-to, but it's since I'm doing a taco bar, mm-hmm. I figured I'd do the margarita.
You know what kind of margarita I like?
What's
old
that?
Style.
You mean just like an old style beer?
Yeah, old style beer.
Okay. I give that joke a four.
I'm an old style guy.
Yeah. I give that a four, 4.5. Okay, so someone texted in. I'm an Uber driver. Should I be an S Corp or an LLC or something like that?
Well, you know, many people who are these Uber drivers or any or what they call a 1099 independent contractor, which is what most Uber drivers are. It really depends on how much money you're making, right? If you're doing it part-time and you're not making a substantial income, well, then it probably doesn't make any sense because there are costs, overhead costs of being a subchapter S corporation. But if that's your job and you're making a living doing it, then the answer is almost always yes, you should have an S corporation. And because you should treat your job that like your business, because it is,
mm-hmm.
right? And that means that that when it's time to make some deductions, you make the deductions. Whatever you do, I'm not sure what Uber drivers do to market themselves or if they have to do that at all. I don't know.
Or the cost of the vehicle and other things like that.
Exactly. And maintenance and all that. And all of that. Now that you say, well, I could take that off anyway, only if you make enough to make those deductions.
Right.
Well, if I'm a business, I always could do that. And we talk about this, John, a lot, is that I believe that your business expenses should not be on your personal tax return because the IRS highly scrutinizes those types of deductions. And the reason why they do that is because if someone's going to cheat or fabricate things, they're going to do it on Schedule C, which is where business would be.
Absolutely.
And that's why they're highly scrutinized. When you go to, and I've had this happen where I have a tax preparer and you get a big refund, like you only usually get $3,000, all of a sudden you're getting an $11,000 refund. Probably what's happening is they're creating false expenses on Schedule C. So most people don't even look at their tax returns. You got to remember, though, when you sign your tax return, it's under penalty of perjury, right? So you can't turn around and say, well, this guy did it. No, that's
you're supposed to look it
you're
over.
Responsible for it. Now people say, well, I don't understand it. And that's probably true, you
right?
know? And that's why it gets hidden. And that's why you think he's the greatest tax preparer in the world, but he's not,
right?
And then eventually they'll come after you. But anyway, that's why I want to get it off of my personal tax return and put those expenses on my schedule on a subchapter S who has their own, that entity has its very own tax return.
Right. And some people then say, oh, an S Corp, that sounds so fancy. No, it can be one person running their company. It's called it's like a pass through, meaning at the end of the year, you square up what you made, how much you spent, who you paid what, and often that's just you paying yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then anything left over gets taxed in a different way.
And I generally will recommend people put themselves on the payroll. That's why you can do that with the subchapter S, but you can't do that with an LLC.
Right.
And that's why I think a subchapter S is better. So then you put yourself on payroll, and you pay yourself a reasonable salary, and the IRS has kind of, that's kind of a gray area, what that is, what is a reasonable income.
Yep.
But you might be able to save yourself some self-employment tax, which is 15% of your income.
Right. If you just get a 1099 and you report it as part of your income, you're going to get taxed on that. It doesn't magically not get taxed. It gets taxed pretty high, in fact. Yes. And if you go through your S-Corp, and also, by the way, I just want to say, and the reason I know a lot about this is because I have an S-Corp, is that you can pay your retirement. There's another great thing. We're going to take a call. You may not know the answer to this question, Stephen, but I know Dave Schluter would know it. So I want to get the question from Leo here, and then I could probably text Dave Schluter if you don't know the answer. Stephen A. Leahy. Hey, Leo, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, everybody? So look, by chance, the question that I got is not similar to the taxes that you guys were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was more so on, like, deeds and house selling and
all. Well, give me the question, and I can text someone that knows, or Stephen might know.
I did a lot of closings.
Oh, well then, okay, let's go. What is the question, Leo?
Okay, so, for example, like, my mother and my grandmother, for example, are the ones, they're both named on the deed, correct? And let's say my grandmother wants to sell, but my mother has no idea that it's being sold. What's the process or what goes on between that?
Well, whoever's on the deed has to sign off on the sale.
So if two people are on the deed, they both have to sign.
Absolutely.
Turn the keys like a submarine.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there are what they call, you can have tenants in common, which means that you own a percentage of it. And if that's the case, I can sell my portion of the house to somebody else. Because I could sell my shares. It's like I own
like
half,
a business.
I own half of the house, and I could sell that. That's what they call tenants in common. But most people have it.
Right.
Probably here is joint tenancy, right? So that means we both own all of it together. I own half of the whole, as they say. And so if that's the case, well, then they both have to sign off on the sale.
Okay, Leo, does that answer it?
Okay, no, that answered my question. Thank you very much, guys. I love hearing your show and everything. Basically grew up on you guys. Thank you.
Love that. Thanks, Leo. Very kind words. And that's the generational impact of WGN Radio. I grew up on GN2 as well. And I was like, what's all this talk radio? And then I got old enough and I'm like, oh, wait, this is great. Someone texted in. We were talking about S-Corps and running your own businesses. And at that point, you go to fightbacknow.com and subscribe to Stephen's newsletter to learn all about it and also pay a subscription to his office. It's really simple and easy, and then you can access him all year round because taxes are an all-year thing.
They are.
I'm making the sell here for you, Stephen, because you do great work. Someone wanted to know, I've heard that you can pay your kids and then take their money and put it into a Roth IRA and let it grow over time. Is that true?
You heard right.
Yes.
And not only is that true, that's what you should be doing.
But now let's just make sure we understand this. Your kids have to do work.
They have to work. They have to be, you can't just give them money and put it in the bank and say, oh, I paid my kids. They have to have a job. And so this is all about tax planning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And tax planning is, you don't just go at the end of the year and give the guy, you have to give them their own bank account. You have to, if I had a payroll, I'd put them on payroll. I'd keep a list of what they did, what their hours are, just like any other employee. Because if the IRS comes back and says, hey, is this true, and I have all of that, it's they're not even going to give it a second look. But most people don't do that, and so if they get audited, then the IRS says, well, what about this? Oh, I don't have any records. Disallowed.
Yeah.
And then they won't allow it. So do the paperwork, do the upfront work before you hire your kids. And as you pointed out, John, have them do something. Not only is it good because that's the rules that you're supposed to, but it's good for them.
Yeah,
to learn that to make money you have to work,
and then they can put all of that money that they earn, because it'll be likely under $12,000 or whatever
14,
at that time.
I 14, think
it's, yeah. What would they be taxed? You can put it in a Roth IRA,
absolutely,
and watch that sucker grow. You start, I always tell people, when you're 22, you better start your 401k right now, because the lesson that you and I have talked about, that if you invest for 10 years from 22 to 32 and you stop, you'll have more money than the person who waited till they're 32 and
Absolutely.
Did it for 30 years.
Absolutely true.
Imagine if you're 10.
I know. And, you know, so people say, well, we'll set up something for my kid. So what if they want to go to college with that money? They could do that.
They could
use the money to go to college. So whatever they want to use the money for. And so, you know, but these are things you can do. And, of course, it's deductible in your business because
You paid them.
You hired someone to do some work, and that's deductible. So now you're reducing your own income, so therefore reducing your taxes, and then your child is getting. So if you're giving allowances for doing nothing, make them do something, right? And give them the allowance that way. Make them earn it. Again, it's a good lesson anyway. And then let them know that they have a bank account. They have the control of the money. They could do what they want, right? To a certain extent.
Mark has an interesting question, and I think I get the question. I think you will too. Mark wants to know, can I be considered self-employed by spending 12 hours a week managing my portfolio? The portfolio interest, it's 1099 reported. What Mark is trying to do is looking to pay Social Security taxes and get employment credit towards Social Security earning years. So essentially, I think he wants to be his own W-2 employee. His job is managing his own portfolio.
I think that's a good job. There's nothing wrong with that. You hire people to do that sometimes.
So you hire yourself. And if you are doing legitimate work to it, the income that you're getting is essentially the interest.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have they're investors, right? That's what an investor is, right? I have my portfolio, and I have to buy and sell stocks, and you know, that's a legitimate business, and then I set it up legitimately, and I report all my income, and yeah, it's an expense.
Yes. I think Mark should follow up with you and your team, though, just to...
I agree. Now, again, I want everybody to understand, I'm not giving any legal advice.
Of course, over the
radio.
Right.
But these are general principles that apply, again, generally.
Generally advice. Exactly, right. And then there's implications about Social Security taxes, employment credit to it. Follow up with a phone call, follow up with an email, and start that conversation, Mark. But that seems like an interesting way to do things. 312-981-7200. 708 want to know, if I itemize, so they itemize their taxes, how much can you put in for charity donations and get credit? After they doubled the standard deduction, a lot of charities and nonprofits were getting less money because people were already at the threshold and they didn't want to go any higher than that, so they stopped donating. If you do itemized, you want me to answer this one, Stephen, because I looked it up.
Yes.
And we had someone from our fine friends over at Mesero, our financial folks over on Your Money Matters, talk about this, that if you're itemizing, generally speaking, you can claim up to 60% of your adjusted gross income, your AGI, for charitable donations, which I venture to guess is that covers well anyone that wants to donate to a charity, that covers
pretty
you all.
Much pretty much
y'all.
I gotta say, you know, and I mention this every time I'm on the show, is that how informed you are about money matters, right?
Yeah.
But because you're involved in it all the time, you're talking to I can't be an expert because I'm an attorney, attorneys, but you talk to people who know what they're talking about,
right?
And you gather a lot of great information, and you can recall it
somewhat. Yeah. And to that point, the 312 says, do you have to be working to invest in a Roth IRA, or can I set one up as a savings account for my grandkids? No, a Roth IRA is earned income.
It is. Yeah.
There's custodial IRAs that you can look into. Terry Savage comes on and talks a lot about that. I'd recommend going to her website or some experts. I'm not a financial expert. I've just hosted that show for 3 years now, and I've learned a lot. But no, you can't just set up that. You can set up a 529 for your grandchild. That's a great idea for college, something like that. But no, Roth is earned income that you are saving away. Tony has a question. Hello, Tony. You're on WGN.
Hello, gentlemen. Question here for Stephen. I have a CD that's maturing next month, and I'm contemplating cashing it in, taking out the interest that I've accrued over the last several years, and then getting another CD for the base that's left.
Mm-hmm.
What type of tax liability am I going to have by cashing it in and doing what I just described?
Capital gains, right? So you have a gain on the interest, so you sold it for more than you bought it for. That's a capital gain, and then the principal you reinvested. That makes sense,
right? So basically, I would just be paying a tax on, again, the money that I kept not the that the base amount that I buy another CD with.
Correct.
It's just all like right. we. I have a T-bills I was doing for a while, and that income, I almost forgot to report it. Because I just didn't think of that. But yes, I make little, you know, you'll make little interest payments on your T-bills. That also you have to report as well. You
probably get a 1099.
I did, but I had to go download it from the government. Yeah. So thanks, Tony. Thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Well, hey, thank you guys for the info. Appreciate it. Have a great Christmas.
Absolutely. Stephen, we're almost out of time. Here's what I want to do. We're going to get a couple more callers, a couple more texts. Our next guest, Audrey Anderson, is also hanging on, too. I don't think she'll mind if I give you another question or two after the break. We'll wrap up with you, then we'll pivot to Audrey. Does that sound good
That's
to you?
Fine.
All right, great stuff. Fightbacknow.com.
Fightbacknow.
Absolutely. A couple more minutes here with Stephen A. Leahy, then we'll pivot to our good friend, Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. This is from the 262, Stephen, and I feel like this is right up your wheelhouse. It's a small restaurant tavern owner for about 12 years. This person's never had good accountants, they say. They feel lost. They feel like it's too late to get on track. What is the first step? I'm very behind.
Okay, so these are exactly the kind of cases that I get, okay, that I help people with. My goal and what we do is help business owners in just your situation, right? Because I want people to achieve the American dream, right? And running your own business is that American dream for so many people. And you have a problem and it becomes like, I'll never get out of this. So the first thing I tell people, and this is the secret to solving all IRS problems, is to get in compliance and stay there. And you say, well, that sounds easier. But if you keep going down the same road, the problem will never go away.
Well, it's going to get worse.
Right? And so what I always tell you, we got to kind of draw a line in the sand and say, from this day forward, I'm going to stay in compliance. I can fix all the stuff behind me, but I got to get in compliance and stay there.
Okay, that sounds hard to me, though. So what do? They call you and you help them out through
that? Yeah. So the first thing I got to do is start paying your taxes. Right. And if you're not paying your taxes, and that's what it sounds like that one of their problems is, you got to start paying your taxes because you'll never solve your problem unless you start paying your taxes.
And you guys can put together plan or say starting right now, I'll be in compliance. If I have 12 years in the hole and I feel like I don't know where to go, you guys can lay out a plan of how that works.
One of the biggest mistakes that people make is they keep fighting the fight behind them, right? We call this a cascading tax problem. So I got a problem from 10 years ago, and I'm throwing money to fix that problem from 10 years ago. But I'm using this year's money
to do that.
So now I have a problem this year.
So it's more like, hey, first of all, first things first. How's your bookkeeping? What's your bookkeeping? How are you registered with the government? How do you operate? Let's get that in order. And then we work on the backwards stuff.
It gets me excited because this is exactly what I tell people. The usually tax problems, that's not your problem. The real problem has to do with record keeping. Has to do with some other problem. So I had a guy come in the other day, and he's got a 10-year problem, 11-year problem, and he saw somebody 5 years ago, and they got him into a payment plan. But as I told him, they didn't solve your problem. That wasn't your problem, right? You had to start setting up some sort of estimated taxes and start paying your taxes as you go. Because if you don't solve that problem, you can't really get into an installment agreement.
Right. So, okay. So this person should go to fightbacknow.com. Is there a number, too, that I can give this person?
Yes. Call me. 312-664-6649. But if you own a business, go to fightbacknow.com. Sign up for my email newsletter.
Okay. Really quickly, one from Dennis. I know we get this question a lot, and you're going to be able to help out. Dennis, what do you got for us?
Hey, John and Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question. My daughter got engaged to this guy. They bought a house together down around Nashville, and after about 3 months, they broke up. She had to get an order of protection against them, so we had to move out. So she was there for a while. They decided to put the house on the market. She moved back here to Chicago. He moves back into the house in Nashville. He was supposed to pay half every month. He hasn't. So she's been paying the whole payment every month because she doesn't want to ruin her credit. Mm-hmm. And this guy's taking advantage of the fact he's living in a real nice house basically for nothing.
Did they ever get married, or were they only engaged?
They were only engaged.
This becomes a problem, right? Because he owns half the house,
right?
So you can't say, "Hey, get out of my house." He said, "That's my house," right? And when you and your daughter is obligated to pay the mortgage because she's on the mortgage, and if he doesn't pay it, then it'll affect her credit score. That's absolutely true.
But if they were married, you get a divorce, and then a judge figures it out. What do they do here?
I think you might be able to go. This is a complicated question. I'm not going to answer on the air, but
okay.
But this is why it's not a good idea to do.
Now, would David maybe know how to help a little bit with this, at least to start?
No, because it's a legal question, right?
Okay,
it's not about financing, which is David's forte, right? But this is really about how can we split this, right? How can I save my without paying, right? But this is a legal question.
So what kind of lawyer can she call?
I think you got to go talk to somebody in Tennessee who understands Tennessee. You know, I don't want to say, but I'm licensed in Tennessee.
Okay. You are?
I am, yeah. I'm not really up on Tennessee law.
Could they at least follow up with you and you might be able to hook them up with someone?
Absolutely.
Dennis,
absolutely.
Do you got Steven's number?
No, I don't.
I'm going to give it to you right now.
Yeah.
It's 312-664 6649, and we'll talk about it. We'll see if we can't at least point you in the right direction.
Yeah, because we want to help her out.
Okay,
appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dennis. I appreciate you. Fightbacknow.com, right, Steven?
Fightbacknow.com. And I just want to tell people, if you're thinking about doing this, buying a home with someone,
you better be married.
Think twice.
The engagement thing, that worries me.
Yeah,
or friends doing it together, stuff like that.
And that happens a lot.
Unless you start a business and it's a share thing. Anyways, I got to let you go, Steven.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to turn off your microphone right now, okay?
Okay.
You're the best.
Who are you, David?
He forgets to turn people's mics off. Of course, I've done that too.